tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
You guys totally missed all the good stuff. Man, you should have been here for that. We're live, by the way.
Oh, God damn it.
We've been live for 30 minutes.
Oh, we are live, son of a bitch.
You guys totally missed that. That was crazy. Oh, my God. Nintendo is going third party. They're going to only be on Sony platforms from now on. It was crazy. B-Dubs with the crazy leaks.
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy.
B-Dubs is here, guys.
Hello.
By the way, this is the Toonami Escape Podcast, episode 146. I'm Greg Zeno.
Is it 147 or 146?
It's 146.
I thought it was 147.
No, because last week was 145. I know that because last week was the one.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, last week was... Yeah, that was some shit last week.
Crocodile's also here.
Hello. You know, again, I guess.
I missed you, buddy.
I missed all of you, too.
We're here to talk about Toonami, including Attack on Titan, because do you want to know when it's coming back? Because it definitely is May 25th.
They've announced that for Toonami?
Yes.
When did they do that?
Oh, right. Today. Yeah, the other day. Seda posted a... Oh, wait, that was today? I thought that was yesterday.
No, that was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was yesterday.
It was today or yesterday.
You didn't see this?
I did not see this. I was in the thread today. I did not see this.
Seda posted a link to Facebook yesterday.
It was probably, I guess it was on the previous page and nobody has been discussing it today. So.
Yeah, because like Facebook does a weird thing on dark theme where you can't really read it.
Yeah.
I've been after the tech guys and they're like, it's not on our end. It's on Facebook's end. We can't do nothing about it. So... Mm-hmm.
But yeah, completely unsurprisingly, yes, of course, Attack on Titan's coming back.
So when does it start again in Japan?
April 24th. So we're getting about a
couple days.
We're gonna like before. We're gonna be about four episodes behind.
So it starts next. It comes back next week in Japan. Wow, that's a lot sooner than I thought.
Well, it's actually late because it's like coming in like 3 weeks after all the other shows started.
Oh, you're right. The season's already started.
Mm-hmm. This is a bad. This is not a great season, by the way.
Yeah,
One Punch Man sucks.
I haven't watched any of it yet.
From what I've seen, there's not much reason to watch the next one, the new season, unless you like watching Fubuki's tits jiggle or something. Apparently, they nailed that, but the fight scenes had to suffer or something.
But hey, Tuesday is really good when you get to watch it legally in December.
Hey, well. I mean,
this because Yar.
Well, I mean, as long as they nail the final fight in the arc in One Punch Man, I'm okay.
They're not going to. Why would you think they like? Yeah. It animation tends to get worse for even how production schedules tend to go.
But look what happened.
It gets shittier usually.
But look what happened to Black Clover. They had like the one episode of good animation.
I could see One Punch Man doing an episode of Sakuga, which is ironic for that show, you know?
Because it was permanent Sakuga in its previous season?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's the one show that should be all Sakuga all the time.
Also, Sarazan Mai is gonna be a thing.
Is that the one of the Kappas?
Yeah, that's the one with the Kappas just holding up a purple orb that says, but...
I haven't seen that one, but a friend of mine was saying that it was speaking highly of it.
B-Dubs, it's from the guy who did Utena and Penguin Drum.
Ooh,
it's his new show.
That's actually pretty interesting to me. I'm gonna sit down and watch that.
It is literally about 80% people talking about the anus.
Mm.
Turns out kappas are weird.
They are.
There's a kappa about to show up in One Piece.
Oh, you're right. But that's totally just gonna be a fish man.
No, I think it'll be a kappa.
Oh, I forgot. I haven't read that chapter.
You're talking about the latest One Piece fan, right?
Yeah. The manga, they haven't revealed the character yet, but it's been pretty well established or not established is the right word, but like hinted at that this character is going to be a kappa.
So it is, do they have the Kappa Kappa fruit, or are they just like a naturally a Kappa?
It's not clear. We don't know yet.
They will probably never tell you.
Like, I'm legitimately thinking it's just going to be a fish man that looks like a Kappa.
Sure.
Because, like, we've already got fish men, so why the hell not?
Well, they're in Wano. That's the reason why not.
I mean, yeah, that's fair point.
I am thinking to myself, I'm in kind of a cold point in my One Piece fandom where I have gone multiple days forgetting I haven't read the chapter, and that's
I will say this much. I knew going in, and it's pretty much played out exactly as I expected. Mm-hmm. I was not excited about Wano. I like it enough, I guess. It's okay, but like it's exactly the level of tepid interest I've had that I expected, because it's like it's just Oda going 110% all in on Japanese culture. Right. And I'm just like whatever.
I mean, I think
Here's the dude who collects weapons on the bridge.
Yeah, like, okay, all the pieces are there for this to be absolutely crazy in the climax. Like, Big Mom's there, and Kaido's there, and Luffy's fucking training, and he's going to get even stronger now. And, like, he literally fucking sees the future at this point.
Mm-hmm. Like, be careful now. Some people might not have read it, but...
If they read the... previous arc, they'll know that, you know, Luffy sees the future now.
My problem with it is that it's not doing anything with a take on it. It's just like almost like the only thing is that like the world looks like an ukiyo-e painting, and that's about it. Like,
yeah, I would say that basically Oda's known for his generally creative takes on concepts and ideas and people. But what you're saying is that Wano could have been found in pretty much any Japanese manga?
I mean, yeah, it's basically his love letter to Japanese history, and that's what it seems like.
I mean, I feel like...
It feels a lot like playing Okami again.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like right now he's just sort of putting all the pieces on the board.
It's just not interesting to me. Like, you go from something wacky and crazy, like Whole Cake Island, which was like this mashup of Willy Wonka and the freaking Alice in Wonderland. It's just kind of boring, you know?
I just realized that Zoe was basically just like 1/4 Discworld. By the way, I started Discworld because...
Why not?
Because I was like, I might not be able to do my job while still getting paid for my job soon. So I need to start getting books. Here's a 46-episode fantasy series.
I actually haven't read Discworld yet.
You should read Discworld.
I will pick it up over the summer. I'm not going to have anything to do.
There's a lot of Discworld.
I mean, I'm going to have work and this admin crap, but I'm not going to have class over the summer, so I'm going to need something to read.
So, yes, Attack on Titan's coming back on May 25th. This, by the way, will mean it's coming back before any show ends, so that rerun slot's definitely going away.
Yeah.
The Titan rerun slot, you mean?
Yes.
Attack on Titan's kind of this weird thing where I like the show, but I know where it's going, and it kind of makes me look at it like...
Side-eye.
Yeah, I mean, pretty
I have no idea where it's going, so...
Yeah, I don't either, and I'm like... I can only base it off the last two seasons, which have been great. So I'm just going to go in with like a hopeful mind.
Ironically, it appears that less ironically, it appears that the Blue Smith might be the point where it all falls apart.
Yeah.
Well, that's not uncommon of a lot of series where they build up a particular person or concept or place an idea. Well, and the thing keeps going, and they're like, often never really planned that far ahead, so they're just like making sure it's going along. Like, and then the dragons arrive, and then
I mean that's the thing. Like, it feels like it's very planned out, but
this is more a thing where he's like, of course they're gonna find a huge twist at the basement. And then the twist happens, and you're like, wow, that's crazy. And then you think about it for a little while, and you're like, that's really problematic, actually.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I guess I'll just have to see what you mean in that sense.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Second and third seasons were an improvement on the first season.
They were absolutely an improvement on the first season. It's just one of those things where after the basement happens, it's kind of just like, wait, what's going on now? You know? I'm keeping in mind that okay, there could be a huge twist that makes this all okay, but with every chapter it doesn't happen. I'm like, it hasn't happened yet. Is this going to happen, or is this just going to end with, you know?
So you needed to twist back or just twist in a different direction that's
Because right now...
You have to be careful to ask these kinds of questions to B-Tubs, because he'll just tell you.
No. I'm not going to say it this time, but...
C-Kohler is saying that B-Dubs is the one who leaked that endgame footage.
I am. No. But in this case, it's sort of heading in a direction that's sort of problematic to an almost hilarious extent. And everyone's kind of expecting it to sort of twist back to a direction that's perfectly fine and okay. And then every chapter, it doesn't happen. I just kind of look at it like, man, they're just running out of time here, aren't they? Is this going to happen, or is this just going in, or are they just playing it straight? And if it's a twist, it's very much like, oh man, you had me. I really thought you were going to...
You were going to do bad thing, but you actually did not bad thing.
It's just a really weird thing.
This tracks with this whole when it's coming back tracks with what I was thinking, that they wanted either Hunter Hunter or JoJo back there to turn into a rerun.
Probably, yeah.
Like, they're not going to replace Hunter Hunter at the very back.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So do we expect Hunter Hunter to just repeat from episode one and become the back?
I expect Hunter Hunter to end. I expect something to rerun after it. I don't necessarily expect it to be Hunter Hunter.
Hunter Hunter would be a good rerun.
It would. I just think that you could instead get a rerun of something else. Have they rerun season two of IBO yet? They did that, and then stopped
to replace with something else.
That's right. I'm open to being surprised to them getting a new show and just shoving Black Clover, Boruto, and Naruto at the bottom. And then it's like, man, you were really tempting me to never talk about those shows again.
That would really be nice.
The only sucky thing about season three, part two of Attack on Titan coming to the block is I think some of the other shows I really enjoy being up higher are going to get pushed down 30 minutes. That's the only thing that bothers me about it. Unless they extend the block, which is possible, but...
Hunter is going to be at 3:30 for a few weeks.
They could also just put, Black Clover and Naruto shipping in where they belong in the trash, but I guess the ratings...
No, that's not happening.
That's asking too much.
It's bad to want things, apparently.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to get a few weeks of no rerun at all, and then, Hunter x Hunter ends. Here's a rerun of something. Life continues. Nichijou is getting a dub.
Yay. That's actually a really funny series. I'm shocked it took them this long.
I love it. It's weird. It's hard to dub.
It really is.
People have said that most of the gags are visual, and so that it wouldn't be that hard to dub, but if you guys disagree?
I think there's a lot of cultural humor that might not translate well, and then I think there's actual literal jokes, some jokes that just... Our Japanese language jokes that would be difficult.
Well, puns don't translate very well. They're probably the hardest thing to do.
But you're right that there's a lot of visual humor that would just work. I think there's also just weird behavioral things that characters do that don't really translate either because of
I think that stuff will do okay.
Social norms in Japan. I mean, if you're an anime fan, it would be perfectly fine. But I think if you aired it on Toonami, it would be a little awkward, kind of in the same way Pop Team Epic was awkward.
No, Pop Team Epic was good, though.
I mean, it was fun, we needed that sort of breath of fresh air.
I just mean that, a lot of the humor just didn't make sense.
It is weird that they're putting this dub out after they already put out a Blu-ray.
Yeah, so now people have to buy
that. That is weird.
Have a dub. Now they're releasing a new Blu-ray set with the dub.
That actually makes me really... Gears start turning when you say that, because it is... what is the impetus, then, to make it dubbed, then? That's really the question.
Maybe the Blu-ray sales actually were good enough to... Oh, we should actually do this.
Yeah, I think so. It was probably they had really better sales than they were expecting and were like, oh, we should actually, spend the money and dub it.
It's also probably a thing where now Funimation is completely divorced from everyone else.
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, we should probably have a dub of this in our library, huh?
Just for more content?
Yeah.
How old is the show?
It is from 2011.
Oh God, I'm old as hell, aren't I? Yes, but like you say, it's, you like you say it's from 2011. I'm like,
God, ah, my first year of college. From 8 years.
I mean, that wasn't my first year of college.
Oh God! Oh God! Oh.
But like, I remember sitting and watching that while I was like doing midterms and shit. I'm like, God, I'm fucking old. But not as old as Monkey Punch. God bless that guy. That was a horrible transition.
That was terrible. That was terrible. That was, hey, you know what my favorite Disney villain song is? Hellfire.
Oh, because of what happened in...
Yes. That was also a bad joke. So the creator of...
Terrible joke. What the fuck, man?
I don't know.
The creator of Lupin the Third has died.
He was like 81.
Isn't it? Yes.
I'm going to be completely honest. Yes,
he was 81. You say that like it was like, ah, well, you know, fuck that old guy, you know.
I didn't say it like that. I'm just saying he's old. He's not like... I'm not saying he can't live to be 100. I'm just saying that when people reach the age of 80, it's not uncommon.
I mean, okay, like, to be fair, I thought he was dead already, so this came as a bit of a shock.
I mean, he didn't die of old age, I will say that. I think he died of pneumonia. Infection. Yeah.
Right, but pneumonia kills you when you're at that age, whereas when you're like 30, it usually doesn't.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, right. It's like an 81-year-old person dying, while tragic, is not unexpected.
Okay, that's true, but like, I don't know why you bring it up. Like, it just
well,
like,
I'm just saying. I mean, like, because I just I don't know because horrible. You guys were because a second ago you guys were talking about the fact that like we were making light of him dying, and I'm like, well, I'm not making light of it, but it's not a you know, it's not a surprise. I mean, the guy's old.
This whole thing went off the rails. Let's
I just sent this whole podcast off the rails. This is not how we expected that.
Out.
It was never on the rails to begin with, honestly.
No.
Yeah.
But yes, I don't. I personally don't know too much about the history of Monkey Punch, whose real name I think Greg's already said.
As far as I know, that is his real name.
Anyway, but like I've always been a big fan of the Lupin series. It was one of the early animes I saw, and I've always just been impressed of how the series has kind of remained relevant and enjoyable from back when it was created in what the 60s or 70s all the way up to now. And it's been also impressive how it's not just been like remake after remake after remake, like a lot of shows have been brought into modern times, but it's actually updated. For example, they had a recent season of Lupin last year, and like the main villain was basically Mark Zuckerberg, and I was just kind of impressed that they're able to make that kind of work.
I think that's because Japan has a lot more like of these like serialized shows where it's just like, we could just keep doing this forever.
Like, with Lupin, it's this interesting thing where you can basically take the characters out of the age that they were put in and then sort of put them in whatever present time you're in, and it'll
still work. The word you're looking for is timeless.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there's not a lot of shows, anime or not, that can do that, and so that's just impressive. Like, I don't know how much he was involved with the later seasons or series, but even just the base concept of these that he created till now is impressive.
Part 6. Lupin and the crew interfere with the United States presidential election.
Yeah.
They could do that. Yeah.
It's no surprise.
There was a plot point in the last season you realized it wrote, though, right?
Right.
It was like, not exactly, but it was like.
It was really close enough. Yeah.
There's no surprise that, like, literally James Bond showed up. Because it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same kind of like an archetype character. Yeah.
Oh my god! Lupin the Third meets the Familia.
They could do that. They actually did at one point. Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan, and it was very good.
Yeah, I heard about that movie, but I never got a chance to see it.
Detective Pikachu.
They could do that too. I mean, like,
Conan versus Detective Pikachu, or Detective Pikachu versus Lupin,
Battle Royale, that bitch. No, but I mean, it's like, it's just this weird thing where the character is such that it will literally fit in whatever the hell you want to fit it into.
So what you're saying is they should cross over with Scooby-Doo.
They could absolutely do that and get away with
it. Oh man, you guys have seen read the Scoob and Shag webcomic, right?
I haven't.
Oh, you should. But that who here has?
I think you're the only one. Tell me.
Oh, fuck you guys. Preach
to me, my friend.
Basically, a thing where it's kind of like that new Nancy.
No, it's like, well, I would say like you, it starts off being kind of like meme-y and gaggy, but it eventually becomes like, there's a reason the thread topic is called like, you know, Scooby-Doo's, like Ruby Roo's Rarventure, you know, like there's a reason they describe it as that way because
so you're telling me that they fight cars.
To be honest, I think I'd call it more Hunter Hunter with Looney Tunes characters than I would call it JoJo's Bizarre Adventure of Looney Tunes characters.
This sounds amazing.
But it doesn't start that way. It starts like really like, oh, they're just making gag jokes, and then like all of a sudden it gets like really anime as hell, but in the you know, JoJo Hunter Hunter way, not the stupid shitty way. But yeah. The reason I bring up is
Ultra Instinct.
It would be hilarious if Lupin were to show up in a webcomic because like, well, there's like the concept that obviously has anime infused within it, but I don't really want to spoil things, but there's a little more anime in it than that. And so it would not be unreasonable for Lupin III to show up in that universe. And if he did, it would be hilarious. You should read the webcomic.
Actually, did you see the episode of Supernatural where they were in a Scooby-Doo episode?
Oh, yes. And then, like, they come in and, like, I think one of the Scooby-Doo people is like, holy shit!
Like, I heard about the episode, but I have not seen it.
Oh, it's amazing. Velma is, like, the dirtiest person in that entire episode.
Guys, we are so freaking off topic at this point.
Dean spends the entire episode trying to get with Daphne.
Isn't that the Johnny Bravo crossover episode?
No, this is the Scooby-Doo one. Like, Dean spends the whole episode trying to get with Daphne, only she's not into it, but Velma spends the entire episode trying to deny that she wants to spend the entire episode getting with Sam.
So were the original Scooby-Doo VAs, like, or not the original ones, because some of them are dead, but the current ones, were they involved with the episode?
I believe so, yes. It sounded about right. But, I mean, apparently they went into that episode, like, 6 months before the season even got announced. Like, they got an early renewal. And
prepared to just do it as a one-off.
Yeah, like, it was absolutely just a one-off, and it was just spectacular, like, even if you don't watch the series, if you go watch it, it's absolutely hilarious.
So you don't need a lot of background in Supernatural to enjoy it, is what you're saying?
No, I mean, basically, you just go in knowing that they kill ghosts and their best friend is an angel, and that's all you need.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen a Supernatural, I think, since season 8 or something, so I'm a little...
No, that's fine. You're good then. Like, you go into it, and it kind of feels like something that's like, oh, wait, is Gabriel back again? That son of a bitch, I love him.
All right.
So we should talk about Dragon Ball Super.
Before we do that, I would just say that, rest in peace, Monkey Punch. Let's hope the next season of Lupin Series 5 comes to Toonami, because it's pretty good and a lot better than Season 4, which I know some people are, like, lukewarm on. But yeah, Season 5 would be great. It's better than Season 4. And rest in peace, Monkey Punch.
Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super episode 106. Find him, a death match against an unseen attacker. Let's move quickly because I don't really care for this episode.
Wait, is that episode called Unclean Attacker? Is that the name of the title?
Unseen.
Oh, okay. Unseen. All right. Okay, that's a little
he
better.
He is unclean, though, because he's basically just a scrotum with eyes.
He really is. They needed to get rid of him real fast.
But they were really, like, weren't trying with these character designs for this episode.
They had to design 77 different people.
Try, man. Try. You have like hundreds of artists at your disposal. Like, fucking try, man.
You didn't think the Speedo wearing Blanca was a creative design?
Also, this is definitely a bunch of character designs made by 77 different people.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, I don't think that's unfair if you're representing 10 or 8 different universes. That seems not unfair. It's just make them not shit.
Well, these are probably some of the worst we've seen, I think.
Yeah, this is just like, man, fuck it.
Someone was like, they realized they got to the meeting for the episode, realized, all right, everyone share your new character designs, and then one of ours responsible realized they hadn't done it yet, and was like, oh shit, I forgot. So they're just like scribbling their no character while everyone called on, and it's like, ah, Miyamoto, what's your design? And he's like, it's Scrotum Man, and he has superpowers. Yeah, that's what I came up with.
He has balls.
I put a lot of fun for this.
I mean, like, all you have to do is imagine that Dragon Ball Z was based on these characters and how bad it would be. Okay. And you'd be like, no, no.
I mean, I remember saying when this was first coming out that it would have been better if they had done, you know, like, this was the end of a bunch of arcs introducing us to all these characters. But we didn't need a Scrotum Man arc, let's be real.
Honestly, I didn't think we needed a whole episode with these guys. It could have just been, like, a fourth of an episode, you know?
Yeah.
If the execution was better, it would have justified episode. But the execution was not better, so it did not justify the episode.
Like to see a good sniper battle episode from Dragon Ball, but this was not it.
No, it was not.
I'm trying to remember the last time I saw a really good sniper episode in an anime. And I think it was like Ghost in a Shell, one of the standalone complex.
Yeah, no.
It was that first episode.
No. What about Golgo 13? Every single episode.
I have not seen that series, so I couldn't
tell you. That's less of an intense sniper battle and more of a dude runs around carrying a giant penis replacement and then goes and has sex with beautiful women after blowing a dude's head off.
Well, I mean, Golgo 13 is basically the greatest sniper of all time, and then he fucks women. Because that's all, like, that's literally in the entire character is how many people can he kill versus how many women can he sleep with in an episode. I just remember there was the one episode where they had the thing where the cops were trying to catch him and they fucking had him. They're like, they literally had him. They had the gun that did it, but he took the shot from like a mile and a half away and it was between two different buildings. And they're like, there's no way he could have made this shot. And they're like, but we have the gun. And we have the legendary assassin. And it's the bullet from the gun. And that was a good sniper episode, is all I'm saying. All I'm saying.
Well, does anyone want to say any piece for Tien?
Tien, you were worse than Krillin.
He really was.
Mega scrub. Actually, do you guys see that video by Plague of Gripes? Just about how much Japan hates Tien.
Oh, really? Is that a thing?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, it was not like, it's not like, they're not like, oh, I have my sources from inside about how much Japan hates Tien. It was kind of, you know, joking about how the character has been so mistreated since the Dragon Ball days.
No, I mean, he's got done pretty dirty. Like, Gohan beat him like he owed him money. And then even Master Roshi got three ring outs. And Tien, like, he gave his life just for the one.
I like the part where in Tien's introductory episode for this arc, Master Roshi outshines him.
That's the best fucking part.
Reading this Scoob and Shag thing, and Scooby-Doo just busted out the Mangekyo Sharingan.
Oh, also, by the way, Nintendo just announced Joker's coming to Smash tomorrow.
Wait, what? A Shadow Drop? Well, it's not a Shadow Drop if you announced it. No, it is
Joker
a Shadow Drop.
From Persona 5, ready to steal hearts in Super Smash, starting 4/17.
Motherfucker, like, we've been waiting for this for, like, months, and it's just...
Like, literally 8 minutes ago.
That's cool.
So, is there Femme Joker? Is that not happening, or is that happening? Or
I have no idea.
You ask lots of questions that nobody here would know the answer to.
Hang on. Let me look at the... No. I put the link to the Twitter thing in the chat, and here's the video thing.
I bet that more than likely there will be, like, alternate costumes, but I don't know about the female thing. I personally don't know.
I can't... If I click this, won't people just be hearing the trailer play during the podcast?
No, I don't think so. Like,
I don't know if you have it real loud.
That before.
There's a Mementos thing, and that's pretty cool. Oh, his Super Smash is pretty
good. Don't spoil the trailer.
What is the stage?
It's Mementos.
Didn't the Dana mind that?
It's still
a rumor at that point, but yeah.
I've never actually played a Persona game, but.
Where the hell did he get a grappling hook from?
Stop spoiling the trailer.
I mean, that's
people watch
thing.
It.
You have to. Sometimes you have to. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Right. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay. My Hero Academia. My Hero Academia episode 45. What a twist! That's the title of this episode.
What a twist!
Thank you,
Robot Chicken.
No. Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan?
I could not think of his name for some reason. The twist in this is that the dude, his marbles were actually in his mouth, not in his pocket.
Yes, they were.
That was clever as fuck. And then he just, you know, bungled it by bragging. Like, I tricked you guys. I'm going to stand here and brag about how much I tricked you. And then he got punked. Well, I mean,
shit, there's me punked versions.
Well, the best thing in the episode was All Might's ringtone.
That was pretty good.
It's like,
$1 is here.
This is legitimately.
The phone tier. That was pretty hilarious.
This is legitimately the worst thing All Might has ever done.
It's the best thing he's ever done. Are you kidding me?
You know what, though? One thing about this episode that confused me, and maybe I just never put it together, is that I thought, for a long time, I thought that the other teachers, except for like one or two, knew that All Might had this second form. But I guess they just all know.
All the teachers know about his second form because
they do now.
They have to know. No, they all knew from the start because they had to know for him to teach there.
Okay.
The staff.
But he never teaches in that form.
No, but he has to go to like the staff room in that form.
I thought he only told like a couple of the teachers.
Yeah, well,
you're thinking of the people who knew that he had about the true nature of his quirk and that he had passed on.
Yeah, that's what I've realized the cop and the nurse and the principal are like the only and Torino, whatever his name is, Gran Torino. They're like the only ones who know what One for All is.
They're totally in on the secret.
But what I didn't realize is that all the teachers at the school also know that he reverts to his like shriveled form.
So like Eraserhead doesn't know about the transfer of power, knows about shriveled Raisin.
Right.
But nobody outside the school knows about his shriveled form.
That's right.
Right, yeah. Correct. Because that would be obviously a huge issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be huge news.
So yeah, everyone got really fucked up and they're all in the hospital. Like, some people are still out.
Oh, and Momo put a tracking device on that Nomu.
That is clutch. She basically solved the entire arc.
Pretty much, yeah.
I didn't think she could make electronics. But I guess she can.
She can make the gas mask. She made the flashbangs.
I thought she could make anything that's non-organic.
She can make anything non-organic, but she has to know exactly how it's made, like, at the molecular level.
She can probably do a very simple, like, microchip thing that you would put in your cat.
Yeah, that's the part that's really surprising to me. Like, how she would know how to make a microchip. That seems
like a stretch. She Googled it before she got
into UA.
I mean, obviously, a tracking device is probably a useful thing to make, so.
I know, but I'm just saying that, like, it's like she has to know the pattern in her mind. Like, she has to do it from memory. That's really hard.
Right. But, like, I feel like if I had her power, that's one of those things that I'd commit to memory. Like, this is how we make a tracking thing.
It's definitely a short list of useful items to know how to create offhand.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Momo starting her hero career as somebody's sidekick. It's like, hey, I put a tracking device on him. Great, you're super useful.
I mean,
she does have one of the better powers in series. It's just the author doesn't do anything for her.
Well, they did here, which is good.
Yes.
So now everyone's kind of like running around trying to decide if they're going to actually try and go save Bakugo or not.
Yeah, oh boy, let's go save Bakugo.
I wonder what's going to happen in this shonen series.
Even though they have the strongest superhero in the world literally telling them, don't go, I'll handle it.
No,
they're
going to
go and handle it.
They can't be.
I've got this.
Like, I don't blame them.
Have they seen his muscles, though? They are quite large.
They literally always see only his muscles.
His muscle.
And not the non-muscles.
But yeah, I assume that they're all going to sneak out and try to rescue him. So is this officially the end of the like retreat arc or whatever?
This is absolutely the end of like this camp part.
Okay.
Right.
I would consider this part of the same arc, but whatever is beneath an arc in the classification scheme of anime narratives, this is the end of that. And plot points can extend through arcs, actually, now I think about it.
Yes.
MHA is a bit looser with arc stuff.
Yeah, I mean, some of the arcs are kind of like nothing really important will happen in them until like the very last moment, and then it'll be like, hey, look at this big thing that just happened that kind of like we probably should have happened earlier. But no, I mean, like this sort of section of the series from like the beginning of the Stain stuff to like the end of what's coming is kind of, I feel like, the best portion of the series.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Everything from the start of the tournament to the end of this next thing is killer.
I don't know about the tournament. I mean, I was kind of like...
Tournament's good. Please. Please.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I'll give you the tournament.
It's out of here.
Okay. I'll give you the tournament, but at the same time, I'm kind of looking at, you know, sort of what comes after, and I'm like, this could be stronger.
Trying to remember what happened in the second half of the season, but maybe best discuss it for spoiler reasons.
Exactly. The Promised Neverland. The Promised Neverland, episode 1. 121045. So... But C-Kohler, thank you very much for hinting me on to what these episode titles are, their dates.
Oh, you're just going to tell people, huh?
I was going to ask, actually, if they were, like, serial numbers or, like...
I thought they were just deciding to take one of the kids' serial numbers and put it on the episode title, but it's dates.
Okay, so it's like with Hunter x Hunter during the York New thing.
Yes.
Where it's just all dates.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's more mysterious when you don't know what they mean because it's just interesting, but I guess it's not technically a spoiler to say this because it's not relevant outside of you just... I mean, it's a spoiler to know which episode takes place on what date. So.
Right.
This episode takes place on either December 10th, 2045 or October 12th, 2045.
It's October 12th.
Okay, right. I figured. It didn't look like...
And the reason it's not a spoiler is because they show the calendar 3 times in the episode.
Oh, you're right. They do.
You know, I didn't even notice that.
They did. Every time they did the close-up and they showed Connie's date, and it was, like, circled. But, yeah, that's the last spoiler that's gonna be in this podcast.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
By the way, they're food for demons.
That's not a spoiler, because that was revealed!
I can't remember who. Someone, like, just kind of dropped that. And like, I just heard about that via cultural osmosis. Yeah. But I don't know if I would like been shocked if I didn't know that already going in. I think I'm just like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I feel like at the end of episode 1 or chapter 1, you're thinking, obviously something's really up. It's probably this.
So did this one episode cover an entire first chapter? I know a lot of manga have a larger first chapter than normal.
Oh man, dude. The cool thing about this series, these 12 episodes, is that it's like, and I'm not even joking, it's like 30 chapters worth of stuff. So it's a lot of content packed into each episode.
That's pretty good.
But you say it's well-paced overall, not too fast, not too slow?
No, I would say it's really well-paced. Some people say that the next 2 episodes are a little slow, but it's a lot of exposition, and so I kind of understand that. But no, the pacing is really good.
Someone compared it to, I saw someone online compared it to, basically, it was anime Chicken Run or something.
Well, I mean, whatever.
Now that you say that.
I mean, okay, look, you know, I mean, the basics that's laid out in this episode is pretty obvious. Emma and Norman have discovered that the Gracefield house is actually a place where children are raised to be food. And so now they have to escape, and Emma is dead set on getting everyone out. And so that's the premise right there. You've said it. That's it.
So have they – obviously, I don't want you to –
I will answer this question, but I will do it in a way that won't spoil anything. Go ahead.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So, do they explain why humans are cattle for monsters or aliens or interdimensional beings or ghosts or whatever the hell they are?
Not
in this season, no. But it will get explained one day. Yes.
Okay.
I will say I felt they executed a good sense of tension throughout the episode. I thought the camera work kind of was usually compelling. and, you know, work towards the aim. I think the attraction to me was sometimes art style. Like, it looked like they often didn't have noses, which kind of they made them a little too cutesy, which kind of I felt detracted from the kind of quasi-horror vibes they're trying to display from time to time. I know sometimes people like that kind of contrast, but I'm not sure if it worked super well here. But I'm not sure if that's so much an artifact of the manga's original art style or if the anime staff kind of dropped the ball on that or just whatnot. But that's something that I noticed and I felt.
Somebody in the thread made a good point that actually the character art is actually much more consistent in the anime than it was in the manga, where it was a little more being figured out in the early days. So
yeah, I mean, that usually happens, so, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything drastic in the manga as it was, like, say, JoJo Part 4 manga, right?
No, where, not really. I mean, like, the first image that you see on the cover, or the cover of the first chapter, of Norman and Ray do not look like Norman and Ray. They're very different looking characters. But on the whole, it's pretty consistent, I guess.
Yeah. I agree that this first episode has a lot of good tension. And it's like dramatic tension where you know something's not right, but none of the characters do.
Yeah, they kind of, when they get to that scene where they're reflecting on the short little fence in the middle of the forest, you know that these kids are smart. And I think this show does a good job of making it so that you don't think, like, why didn't these dummies ever think of this? They were thinking about it. They were always wondering. It's always a weird thing. So, yeah, I love that they kind of, like, set up this idea that they're like, hey, this is a little strange. What's going on here?
Right. I mean, at the same time, like, they're smart.
It's weird tests, and why are we just running around talking about strategy all the time?
Right. Like, it's kind of like they're smart kids, but at the same time, they're a little naive because they are kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is also a weird thing to say, but they really, animation and voice acting really nailed the complete terror of these small children.
Yeah, no, they did a really good job.
The animation stays really solid throughout the whole series, too. There's no dips. It's pretty good. Voice-wise, I think
Erica
Mendez
is exactly what you expect. And
I think I'm the only person who doesn't feel that way.
But she
did a great job. I think her Emma is a little too high-pitched for my tastes, but we'll see how it goes. I think Ray sounds exactly the way I expected Ray to sound in English. He kind of sounds a little like Killua.
I think they probably didn't want Emma to sound like Gon.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, she's definitely got to use her girl voice here, and it's just a little high-pitched for me, but whatever. It's a minor complaint. She performed it great. Norman, I think, sounds way better than I expected from hearing the preview, and he sounds pretty much exactly what I would want him to sound like, because Norman's kind of a more frail kid, and so he doesn't have a real, you know, manly voice or anything like that. He's got a very soft voice, and it's perfect for him.
Like, it sounds like he's going to just break apart at, like, the slightest wind.
The other only kind of controversial voice to me is, because I think Gilda is really good, and you won't really see much of her until a little bit later. And then some of the other characters, like Nat and others, sound just fine. The only character I think is a little suspect, though, is Don's voice. And the only reason is that his voice sounds weird is because it's freaking Chitu's voice. And I think it hurts his character that we all know him as Chitu's voice.
You see, I've completely forgotten what Chitu sounds like because what's-his-face punched out of me.
Oh, you're okay. Right. Killua's dad just nuked him from orbit like a goddamn meteor.
He got nuked so hard, I forgot what he sounds like.
Well, that's a good thing.
You're right.
Because I really like Don as a character, but every time he talks now, I hear Chitu, and I'm like, oh, God, it's Chitu.
Yeah,
but no, otherwise, they're doing a really good job with the voice flaps and making things match. And it's funny, because I had just, like, watched the sub, and so I was really familiar with the dialogue and everything. And so it's interesting to see what changes they made, not much, in the way of the localization.
But this is what we expected. I don't think anyone expected the dub not to deliver. I think it would have been a surprise if it didn't, more so than not that we still can't praise performances. You know, they're still worthy of being commended. Mm-hmm. I guess I just feel like I'm not surprised. I'm like, yeah.
That's cool.
Another good dub in the can.
I think the only reason is a little unusual is that there are some veterans like Erica Mendez and Christina V in here, but there's a lot of new people too. And then also, it's a real fast turnaround time. They really dubbed this quickly.
Well, no, because they basically put it out like after it ended.
Oh, versus a simuldub, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Whatever happened? Wasn't there supposed to be a Mob Psycho season 2 dub at some point? I purposely didn't watch the season in Japanese to wait for it in English, but like it's the season's ended and there's still no English dub. So what's going on there? Did he say something?
No, we haven't heard about that. At this point, we're still thinking, hey, maybe Toonami soon. Or maybe it was weird getting the dub together. I don't know.
That's unfortunate.
Sword Art Online is also unfortunate. Sword Art Online Alicization, Episode 11, Central Cathedral. In this episode, I can't believe the Integrity Knights still do that thing where they tie you to a dragon with bondage gear.
Why don't they just put you on the back of the dragon instead of dangling you through the air?
It's like you wouldn't put the prisoner in the front seat of a police car.
Well, no, that's not... But no, this is more like if you were like in a wagon and you tie the prisoner to a rope and drag them across the road, which is usually how you kill them in one of the most merciless ways possible.
Not to defend the show, but I did not notice whether or not that dragon saddle had an extra seat on it.
I mean, they could have just made it a saddle, an extra seat. Like, they just make everything. Like, there's
tie them to the belly.
Just dangling, having them dangle in the air is just the stupidest shit. Like, of the many stupid things the show does.
And also, she takes off and then literally 5 seconds later, they're already there. Like, I think I looked down, looked back up, and they were there. And in fact, I don't think there was a cut. I think it's because they actually were, like, there.
Mm.
Like, the headquarters is like, it's next door. So this was really unnecessary.
Well, them being dangled, as goofy as it is, isn't half as goofy as her name. Alice Synthesis 30.
God, that is so bad.
We're in a computer.
So, I mean, I'll be honest. I was kind of like, not really watching this episode because I was just so exhausted from the last week, and I was just like, "Ah, fuck! This show's on the TV right now." So it was like on, but I wasn't like watching it. But I assume like Alice doesn't recognize Yu-Gi-Oh yet, right?
No,
she's been rewritten.
Yeah, like they messed with her brain or whatever.
I'm just hoping it was consensual, unlike some of the other messing around.
About that.
It probably was just like, bloop, hey, your brain's different now.
At least I hope that's what it was like.
Probably not.
Oh, no. God help us if we have to have another one of those scenes this season. No. I thought I looked ahead. I didn't see anything.
I don't think there's anything like that I know of. Of course, I wouldn't have known this was coming back at the end of season 2 either, so.
Well, I mean, it always... You know, like, we at least get one every season.
They escape from the prison because nobody realized that the chains can destroy each other because they have the same durability.
I still have no idea why this show isn't just a regular fantasy show and why they're doing you're in a computer thing. I don't get it. What is being added here?
That's what fantasy is in Japan right now. It's isekai.
Yeah.
You know what was good at isekai? Futurama.
You're right, it is.
Kind of.
You know what? Sword Art Online bullshit or whatever.
Harry Potter is the best isekai.
No, it's actually not an isekai.
Yeah, because it's not another world. Right.
It kind of is, because he gets...
It's
I know what you mean. It's not like another world, but like it is kind of like a world.
Isekai literally requires you to... Like, it can't be the same, just like, oh, I didn't realize there was magic in the world, hidden. It's like, I changed dimensions.
Okay.
Vision of Escaflowne was an isekai, though.
Oh, yeah, that actually is a decent isekai.
In fact, before
they
were
called isekais.
Magic,
Ray, fantasy anime.
But. Yeah, Ray Earth was that.
Oh, yeah, Inuyasha is isekai, right?
Yes, no, it, no. No, it's kind of a time travel, oh, by the way, mystical, like, Japanese myth was true thing.
El Hazard is an isekai.
The The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is a very popular isekai.
Old school reference. That's you're pulling back way back.
Yeah, wow. I'm just saying this. It is though. It's also time travel though too. So,
oh, and I feel like time travel should count because the world is different enough. Like, what's the difference between time traveling? You know, like except for I guess now it's magic, but like, is there a difference between like time traveling to ancient Japan and there's demons, or just getting to another dimension that's ancient Japan, quote unquote, with demons? Is there really a difference?
Yes,
I mean, there's a difference to Grex.
Isekai is like another world. Time traveling is like
is wish fulfillment targeted at like neets, because the entire point is that you are dying, reborn in another world that coincidentally basically functions exactly the same as one of your RPGs, and also you are amazing and every girl wants you.
Is that a requirement of being isekai or just something that
nowadays it kind of it. Nowadays it's 90% of them.
I mean, most of them have it, but that I feel like that's not really required. I think it's just like you're in another world.
Yeah, like now then they're here, or if I think I got that right, that's isekai, right?
Not really. Is. I think it is. Yeah, it's another dimension.
Okay, there's this one manga that's basically these two sisters get sent to another world, and then the story revolves around the sister that isn't the chosen one, and she basically spends her time cooking and flirting with the knight that's meant to protect her.
Okay.
That doesn't sound particularly interesting, but go on.
No, it's actually really good.
I thought you were making a point about something being isekai, and that
now that the isekai has been so firmly established as exactly what it is, you're getting all the different twists on it.
Yeah. According to Wikipedia, for what it's worth, isekai literally means different world. It usually revolves around a normal person from Earth going to another parallel universe. Often this universe already exists in the protagonist's world as a fictional universe.
Yes.
This
is what I'm saying. It's like, oh, I got sucked into the game
Konosuba is an isekai. That didn't go, and the magical world wasn't known beforehand, right? I don't think it was.
Fantasy. It's fantasy in that regard, then. It's just like, it's a fantasy world. It doesn't necessarily mean literally.
The article also says, comma, but it may also be unknown to them.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have the Wikipedia article open right in front of me, so.
But the point being, though, that like we understand as a general what fantasy is. Like, oh, fantasy, we know what that means. It's like, it can be a lot of things, but it's usually dragons and swords and stuff like that.
At least there should be more like sci-fi isekais then.
I think that's what this is trying to be, honestly.
But it's shitty and I hate it.
It is.
It really it's poorly is written. Bad.
But no, no it's doubt. Not because it's, he it's goes to a, he like uses his state-of-the-art computers to go to a fantasy world where you have elves and swords. They should be going to a fantasy world. Oh, I guess that was kind of Gun Gale, but they barely was in there, and Gun Gale sucks. I guess that was kind of Gun Gale-ish.
The first SAO was like a fantasy world. The second one was like much more fantasy worldy. It was like elves and stuff flying. And then there was Gun Gale, which was a shooter. And now they're back into another fantasy world again.
Well, they already three out of four have been fantasy worlds. I mean, they need to mix shit up. At least like get like if you're gonna do fantasy, like, at least do like fucking pirate world or some shit.
I think it would have been cool. Sword Art Online is now
Kingdom Hearts.
I don't know if it would help the writing, but setting wise, it would have been neat if every version of SAO was like a different video game genre.
This season they go into Devil May Cry.
Yeah, why not? If it has to be an MMO, I guess, but whatever.
This season they're doing Elder Scrolls Online.
No, that's exactly what they're already doing.
Yeah,
they
kind
of. No, they're doing. Oh, they should do.
No, Warframe. This time they're doing Fantasy Star Online. They should do Fantasy Star Online. All right. Do we have anything more to say about SOA, or can we change it?
I don't want to talk about SAO anymore.
You don't want. My life is being drained.
You know, I actually thought it was kind of clever that they used the chains to against each other to get themselves out.
I was going to say that too. I agree.
But like that was the one part of the episode that sticks out at me, and I was like, you know,
it's like that's the so thing. Bad. That's the thing that only works because it's a game.
Yeah, I was like,
well, that's the thing that makes it kind of clever. It's like they're using they're using the game mechanics against it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, people escape from prisons in a clever manner all the time. I don't really feel like giving them props here because durability and game glitches, and it's just, I don't know, whatever. I mean,
like, yeah, but it got them out, and I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, that, like, I'll give them, that was marginally clever. Like, when they were like, there's nothing as tough as these chains in this cell other than those chains, I'm like, well, then if you were smart, you'd just use the chains against each other. And then they did it, and I'm like, I at least got to give them, you know, for that.
These chains are made of diamond. Isn't that expensive? They're made of diamond.
Just, yeah. I mean, it's just like...
They're made out of armor from a space battleship.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
From a season. Fuck.
Forgot about that.
That was
like awesome. That totally dropped that there's a space battleship in Gungale Online and nobody mentions it ever again.
And it never shows up at any point.
JoJo! JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Diamond is Unbreakable, Episode 31, July 15th, Thursday, Part 1. I wish they hadn't named this sequence of events this title. It's bad.
It is weird. I'm not sure what would work better, though, but it is weird.
I also wish they hadn't, like, shoved all three of these fights into one thing, because they don't actually even really do that. They just kind of, here's the transmission tower, and also two scenes from these other two.
But I mean, these are like a lot of these events are going on concurrently. So like, if like you couldn't show the
they didn't go on. They weren't concurrent in the manga. They just decided they were going to shove them all together.
Well, I don't know. Having already seen the Japanese version for this arc, I felt that this worked well. I thought these were a series of good fights, and the way they arranged things worked well, and it was generally understandable, and I enjoyed it. And that was true again when I saw this in English right now.
Yeah. Some people said that it's because these are some weak fights. I disagree. I think the next two are really good. But I do think the transmission tower is almost there, but not quite.
I thought that was a fine fight.
It's certainly different from what I've seen before. The visual of Josuke reaching out and then having his body become metal, like he's becoming part of the power line. Kind of neat. I definitely think that's a very cool visual.
Yeah.
And the whole idea that like the stand is tied to the object, and I don't know, there's some interesting things going on here. It's also like super JoJo-y in the fact of like this guy has been living up there for years.
Yeah. Also, and it's like, just the random twist we put on this is that this dude lives here. This is his house. Yeah. The manga had an entire panel, had an entire like 2-page spread dedicated to detailing every single aspect of it, and it's amazing. Like, here's the TV, here's the couch, here's the shitter.
In true Araki style, it was obviously overly thought out how everything worked, you know?
Right.
But yeah, here's my other question though. Unless I'm mistaken, he continues to not want to go down on the ground, and I'm not really sure why.
Just because that's where Okuyasu is?
No, before he's even fighting them, he's like, I decided I'm never going to touch the ground.
Yeah, he's just got this like obsession with like I'm going to never touch the ground ever again.
I live in this tower, not on the ground.
But he's
even as he's leaving the tower, he's like deciding that he's never going to touch the ground.
But he said he touched the ground like a month ago to do some shit in the garden.
Yeah, I guess I should be more clear. Like he's not saying he'll never touch the ground again. It's that he's just made a choice to do it as little as possible. Which is again not explained or given really any good reason. He's just that way. At least as far as I can tell. Unless he has like a reason. Unless this is like some like twist. It's like, oh, if he touches the ground, something bad will happen. I have no idea, but I guess I should. Nobody's saying anything, so I'll keep talking because maybe I've hit something. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's basically it. Them trying to figure out what the stand is, how it works.
Also, alien guy is there.
Yes. He's there. He turns into binoculars. I don't know what to make of that guy.
Part 4 is great because it just has these characters who's like, what the fuck is up with this dude? Who knows? This is a weird place with weird people. Yeah. And they show up.
That is a major improvement on part three. And I'm going to be honest, so far, it's an improvement on part five, in my opinion.
I haven't seen part five yet.
Part five is good. Part five is a better part three.
But is it better enough to overcome part four, which is better than part three?
No, it's not better than part four, but it is the concept of part three better. Because now, remember, part three was like Jotaro, Joseph, and Polnareff, and also some cardboard cutouts.
Well, and mostly Polnareff.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, please be sad that Kakyoin died. It's like, he was a cardboard cutout, but he was our cardboard cutout.
Hey, don't forget, he loved moms.
He never got to shag Jotaro's mom. He probably would have tried to shag Josuke's mom too.
100%. Like, there's no quite, like, yes, obviously. There's
Kakyoin the MILF Hunter. Black Clover. Black Clover, episode 65. I'm home, and I'm gone out the back door because Black Clover is here.
Black Clover, has there been an arc in Black Clover that's ended in a way that was satisfactory? I can't think of one.
No,
they're all horrible.
They've all kind of ended the same, as far as I can remember. They all just end up back at their base just joking.
And wasn't one of the things where, like, so that magic vampire who was trying to kill them, like, two episodes ago, they're now friends with him now? And then didn't they give the Ice Gara a drug to, like, drug his president of his nation or something? And they just, like, oh, yeah, we're going to drug the president. And then, like, you know, it's going to work out. And I'm just like, what?
Oh, yeah, they were just like, hey, we're going to take this mind control drug and take control of the country. Bye.
Do they come back to that? Because what the hell?
I don't believe they do.
I don't understand, and I'm not interested enough to learn why they just completely forgive the smiling guy and the Queen of the Witches, like, at the end. I know that she did, like, heal them, but this was only after she tried to murder them. And so they're just all like, whatever.
The only reason she did it was because, like, she, like, gave up because Vanessa's stand was too good. She's like, I quit, you win. And it was like, all right, cool.
Asshole. Yeah, they don't even condemn her. They're just like, okay, see ya, bye. And it's like, what? You should be really pissed at her. You're just gonna let that slide, all that shit she did? It's poor characterization. And the same thing with the smiling guy. Like, I don't think unless they said that the smiling guy was under the same kind of mind control that the pink haired girl was.
No. He's basically just been like, I like to be on the winning team, and it sure looks like you guys are on the winning team, so I'm definitely going to stab you in the back later, but for now, I'm a good guy. Definitely.
It's really not good writing.
People in the show make heel turns all the time, but they never make sense and are never satisfying.
The ice guy's heel turn, or the crystal guy's heel turn, was probably, as bad as it is probably better than either one of these. Because at least he had a reason.
Didn't even make sense. Like,
well, he found the girl that he grew up with, and it's like, oh no, I should be helping her, not being bad. It's not a good reason. I'm just saying that's what it is. But it's better than like this smiling guy who's just for whatever reason just straight up just changes. And the fact that everybody's like okay with it is like what? Oh, because I guess you trained me, master, back in the day. Remember? I know this is a shonen, but it's very juvenile in the portrayal of these characters' motivations. Because, like, in a perfect world, yeah, smiling guy would just be—they'd be all befriend him, and then that's what happens.
So yeah, let's talk about Boruto.
Yeah.
Boruto, episode 26, The Mizukage Successor. In this episode, they visit the president's office. They visit the Oval Office. And some other stuff happens. I forget. It was late at night.
It was like, what's it called? Kagura
His name is Kagura. Like,
having issues because clearly something's wrong with him, but he's going to succeed to the throne, the group of the seven swordsmen of the Mist. And then we saw also the old president, what's her name, Mai, who was a little older and fatter, and I guess she doesn't have a marriage thing about marriage.
Don't anymore. She's going to kill you.
And then there was other nerd swordsman who's now Hokage, but like, why the fuck did he make him Hokage? He was like a fucking weeb in the previous season. I mean, series. Like, there was no, like, he didn't really have it. He was like, I was a storm.
He literally was like, okay, I have to make some dudes from each village the Kage now. I forgot to add any cool water village people. Crap.
Oh, and then what's it called? The thugs came about a couple times and they kidnapped Denki and whatever, I guess.
I mean, it's pretty obvious the story here is that, like, everybody really is all in love with each other now in this post-war world, but secretly, there's an underbelly to all this. There's people out there who still have the old hatreds. They're like, you leaf village scum, we're the Blood Mist village.
This is Blood and Crips is just like...
That has the same tone as that one, that Simpsons gif of the dude hitting the button and Russia turning into Soviet Union.
There was one good moment where Boruto and Sarada share the grilled squid. I thought it was kind of cute. I'm sweet. And I guess there was some good animation when Boruto and Kagura did that sparring session. But otherwise, I can't really remember much from the episode or what I did remember is kind of like, meh, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I'm not excited about the story where it's going right now. I mean, it's still, again, like I've been saying, the show's watchable. It's not great, but it's fine. And I do enjoy like the main cast of characters enough that I want to keep watching. But yeah, this whole idea of there are these the secret thugs that the Mizukaze doesn't know about that are trying to, you know, cause rivalry. It's like, I don't care. I know where this is going to go.
I will say that Boruto in general has been much better than the equivalent Naruto. So like, it's not like Black Clover or anything. Like, there's enjoyable things in the show, but this episode I wasn't really feeling it.
Yeah, me too. I haven't felt the last couple episodes, honestly. There's always like a scene or two of something like Boruto or Sarada related, or even like, you know, something with the white-skinned kid. I can't remember his name. Mitsuki or whatever.
Yeah, there we go. That sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. There'll always be something with those characters that's entertaining enough that I'm like, okay, cool, cool.
So, Naruto. Naruto Shippuden, episode 245, The Next Challenge, Naruto versus the Ninetales. In this episode, he's accepted his shadow, he has persona now.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
You are me. And everything was solved. Now he has to beat the shit out of the demon inside of him, I guess.
I will say, it was mildly humorous when he stuck his head in that thing. And then acted like his head was cut off and freaked that dude out. And then it was like, there's just a button in there.
This is a requirement whenever something does that somebody has to stick their hand in there and be like, oh, God!
Yeah.
And just be like, I'm just kidding. Even if that's totally not a thing that character would do, they have to do it.
So is this the part of the series where Naruto gets his, like, flame cloak?
You mean the entire next... second half of the show is basically this arc, so kind of.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen anywhere from 50 to 200 episodes from now.
That's a lot of episodes.
And it's on very late, and I don't remember anything about this episode.
Shit, what happened?
The only thing I remember, they went behind the waterfall, and then there was this whole hidden city back there. And Killer Bee's there now, and he's willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
This Black Clover to Naruto hour and a half was brutal.
And it will continue to be brutal for the next however many weeks this persists.
It will continue. Eventually, it's going to be the back half of the block.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, I think, honestly, like we said earlier, I think the block's going to end on Naruto. and that some of the shows in the block are probably going to get shifted down half an hour when Attack on Titan appears. That's what I think is going to happen.
The new stuff's going to end on Naruto. I think they're going to have a rerun.
I disagree. I think they're going to ditch their rerun.
You think they're going to replace Hunter x Hunter with a new show?
I don't know.
Or,
well, is Hunter x Hunter going to be over before?
I mean, it's going to be over in about,
so, what, like I said, Attack on Titan comes back before any other show ends.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Okay. But I think at some point when Hunter x Hunter goes, maybe that's when that shift happens I'm talking about. But
okay. Yeah,
whatever.
I just always thought that if you're going to put Hunter x Hunter, if you're going to go to the trouble of switching Naruto above Hunter x Hunter, you're just going to have Hunter x Hunter turn into a rerun slot.
I just don't think they need it. I think the only reason rerun slots exist is because they need to fill 30 minutes. I think if they really wanted to, they would have every show be a premiere.
I guess Naruto shipping in that as a premiere at 3:30 is fine.
But you can't really put high-profile premieres at the, like...
That's the point. That's what I'm saying. That's why everything's going to have to move down 30 minutes, because they're going to have to put a high profile premiere like Attack on Titan towards the front of the block.
Right.
So we'll see.
Hunter x Hunter. Hunter x Hunter episode 138, Plea and Favor. In this episode, an SCP.
SCP?
Oh, you're not the guy who was talking about that.
Secure, protect.
Contain and protect.
Yeah, secure, contain, protect. Okay, brief history, since you don't know what that means. It's like a community of people online who write sci-fi fantasy stories about like mysterious objects that the government is hiding from people. And so they come up with these cool ideas about an object that's hidden away by the government at like Area 51 or something. And it's just some crazy object. And people come up with all sorts of them, you know, just for and fun.
It's a writing community based on you have to write the containment procedures for Cthulhu.
Yeah, and you have to write it as if it was like an official government document. So it's all like very verbose and kind of written. It's a fun writing exercise and sort of sci-fi twist storytelling thing to it.
I think the most famous one is probably the statue that only moves when you're not looking at it.
Yeah.
And breaks your neck.
Yeah. And so this girl, Aluka, is very reminiscent of something that would have been written on that website.
Huh, interesting. How do you come across this website?
I don't know. I heard about it years ago.
You just kind of come across it.
Just, you'll have to Google it. There's a bunch of really interesting, you can kind of get lost in there reading about these fictional objects. But yeah, Aluka is like, they literally lock her away like they would one of these SCP objects.
Containment procedures. They got a container.
Now, my guess is here, and it seems obvious, but I'm just going to say it, is that like the whole reason that she's behind like six giant coded doors is because they don't want any chance of someone talking to her.
Right.
Because if they did, then the whole cycle starts over, I guess, and somebody could die.
Then shit just goes off really quick.
Yeah, they were explaining her power set over the course of the episode, and it was just kept escalating to like, what the hell? The what? Shit hell? And just kept going like, you know, on and on like that.
Yeah, like, okay, so it's basically if you wish something and that, like, depending on the level of wish you make, her demands sort of get crazier and Aluka's demands get crazier and crazier. And if you don't do them, basically you and everyone you've ever cared about will die.
No, that's not it. See, it's way more complicated than that.
Yeah,
Here's the way I think it works, and correct me if I'm wrong. Grex, do you know, by the way, before I say this?
I've forgotten the details.
Okay, so here's what I think it is. So I go up to Aluka, and I say, I want $1 million.
Right.
She gives me $1 million right away. But before I can ask – I think before I can ask her that, I have to answer her demands for the last person who made a request. So if the last person, let's say, asked for 50 cents, then she's going to say, give me a piggyback ride – and I got to do four little things like that, and then she'll grant my wish.
And then you now, ask for $1 billion.
Now I ask for $1 billion. Immediately, $1 million appears, and I have $1 million. The next person that goes to Alika and makes a wish
is fucked.
They're fucked, and so are like 100 people related to that person because they have to now atone. Well, first, she will ask for something that you can't deliver, like, I want your intestines or something that you can't really do. And so when you fail four times to give her what she wants, then you and, like, I don't know, X number of people that are related to you that you care about are just smushed into nothingness.
Right. Like, the wishes depend on the level of thing you wished for. So, like, if you wish for, like, $1 to go hit the vending machine, you know, she's not going to ask for a whole lot of shit.
She's going to be like, oh, can you lend me 50 cents or can you lift me into the air? But yeah, if you like, say, like, I want $1 million, that's when she's like, I want your heart.
Yeah, she's like, give me your spine.
Give me your
brain. Like, yeah, exactly.
But here's the question I don't know. Wasn't made clear to me, is that how does she know who to make the demands of? Does that happen after the next person makes the wish, or is it like just the next person she literally talks to?
I assume they're going to maybe spell that out.
Okay.
B-dubs, do you want to...
Okay, so it's like Alika is sort of...
Wait, hold on. It sounds okay, like you okay. know... Is it going to be revealed in the future?
In the next few episodes, yes. Like, okay. What you
then
got that,
then
here
you
was,
don't need to explain it.
Right. I'll just say what you got here was an imperfect explanation.
Okay.
Which is why it kind of doesn't make sense.
Confusing. Okay, cool. We'll get the full explanation here soon.
Right. Like, there's stuff that the people making the explanation don't actually know about.
Okay, so yeah, we don't need to know then because it's going to get revealed.
So it sounds like there are some revelations are made in the next few upcoming episodes, but then more revelations are made way further down the line, maybe in manga material. Is that what's
No. Alika's thing gets explained entirely in this arc. The question as to what gives Alika this power comes after. And okay, cool. Like, we'll talk about that at sort of the podcast covering the last episode, because I can't tell you.
All right, don't say any more. That's enough.
The twist that happens in the elections arc, or the twist that happens further down the road?
Like the last.
Like literally just after the election arc ends, and then we sort of get an episode or two of Drawdown. I don't know, but it's sort of like the lull between the election arc and the next manga arc.
Is that in the anime, or is that...
Yeah, no, it's covered in the anime.
Okay.
But sort of the full explanation of Alika is in the manga material, and it's fucking crazy, man. Like, you all have no idea what the hell's going on. Like, it's some shit. All right.
So, yeah, Alika's crazy. But she could totally fix Gon, I think. It's just, man, you... The next request would literally kill everyone on Earth, probably.
Well, yeah, maybe. And everybody in the thread, oh, God, I got so sick of reading these posts. I mean, I understand where they're coming from, but, like, you should know. It's like they keep going, like, well, why don't they just wish her to not have these rules? And it's like, I mean, you've heard of genies, right? You know how genies work. You can't wish for wishes. It's the same thing. It's like you can't wish for the rules to not work the way wishes rules work.
Because
you know?
That would break the plot.
Yeah, exactly. That's just like, you know.
Right.
You just, I mean, I understand like the obvious thinking there, but it's like, also it creates like paradoxes and loopholes. It's kind of like, oh, are you going to wish for her to not use her powers anymore, but still get your wish? Well, then what's the consequence of your wish? She didn't have her powers anymore. It's just a paradox.
Kind of one of those checkmate atheists, ridiculous thing.
Oh, yeah.
It makes more sense when you fully understand where Alika's power comes from and what it is exactly.
I can't wait. Let's not talk about it anymore.
Nope.
Also, there was also some election stuff, apparently. I forget what it was.
Yeah. What was it? They didn't have enough voters in the first round, so they had to redo it. Because 95% of the people have yeah, something like 95% of the people had to vote.
And I think they determined that the way they're going to get around this is now you have to vote or you're not a hunter anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, but you, but Gon can't vote.
Well, I mean, you know,
they are perfectly fine to able to make exceptions.
Okay. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure they're going to give exemptions for people who like physically cannot vote
or cannot. Yeah, they can't. Like, I'm on this mission, I can't.
Gotcha.
Yeah, or like I'm dying, and you know, like I'm unconscious, so.
Without revealing a spoiler or anything, because I don't think there's anything related to this, but maybe just in case, if Hisoka lost his license, like would that really mean anything?
No,
he probably wouldn't give a shit.
Well, like he would actually lose access to a bunch of really good resources for stuff.
Yeah, like he likes to hunt down strong people and then fight them, like. His life would just be harder if he lost his license.
Okay.
Like, he could still do what he does. It would just cost him more money and be harder for him.
And he would also, I mean, because the thing with him, like, a character like him is, like, he's so ruthless. I just don't think he doesn't care about breaking the law.
No, he doesn't give a shit. Like, he's totally fine with killing people as long as he gets to fight strong people. I will note that a lot of characters are coming back.
Oh, yeah, we've already seen Leorio in the opening.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you saw Bisky at one point, and...
I figured that was just a cameo.
Yeah.
I figured it's going to be cameos, like, oh, we came back for the election, and also we visited Gon. Remember when we were here? Yeah.
I mean, it's still pretty cool that, you know, it's like, oh, there's Bisky, you know?
There's that dude, those dudes from Greed Island.
Yep.
Oh, what happened to that jerk from the exam mark at the beginning? Oh,
Tompa.
Yeah,
He's not a hunter.
He's just not in the show anymore. He's not a hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, he never made. He never passed. That's right.
That was the guy who was kind of. Was that the guy who was trying to get everyone to drink like spoiled juices? What was his deal? He's just an asshole for the sake of being an asshole.
He's literally an internet troll.
Yeah, he's basically he knows that he can't pass the exam, so he's like, fuck it, if I can't pass, nobody can pass.
What a worthless waste of time.
I know. I'll note that Killua opened, like, what, the fifth of those gates? There were, like, two he couldn't open.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like, that dude got strong, and he's also pissed.
I don't know what to make of Killua's dad, as far as a character. Like, I don't, it's weird. I mean, he's got to be evil, but he doesn't really come across that evil.
I'm not sure he's got to be evil, though. Does he?
I don't know. I mean, when you're the leader of an entire family bred to murder people, it's kind of evil.
It's kind of evil, but it's not like...
You lock away your own daughter in, like, a vault. That's kind of evil.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sure...
At the same time, locking Alika away is kind of saving the world. Because if someone makes a wish and they don't, and it's big enough and they don't, and nobody like does what she needs them to do, like
I get it. I mean, I get that. I mean, and it's also self-preservation too. I mean, obviously, yeah. But
anyway. I feel like I have a hard time categorizing the Zoldyck family, or at least what we know about them, as evil. Like, they're certainly willing to do immoral things, such as, you know, murder and assassination and whatnot. But, like, the way they conduct themselves, the type of jobs they do, like, it's really hard for me to come away of them as...
They're the assassin character who's like, oh, we don't do that dirty stuff, like robbery and rape and such. We're civilized. We are people.
Wasn't the granddad who was fighting Krollo was pretty much like, I'll do anything for money.
Well,
but
yeah,
don't you remember that same granddad was upset when they hurt what's her name?
Komugi.
Oh yeah, when they were ambushing the
also,
the palace, they accidentally hurt Komugi, and he was like, "What the fuck, dude? I didn't sign up for this shit." A giant bug alien, not a little girl. What's going on?
It's literally the second Illumi killed the people who hired him to kill Krollo, he was just like, well, see you later.
Like, the Zoldyck's kind of come across to me a bit like, if you watch Game of Thrones, like the Faceless Men, where they'll do whatever job you want them to do, but you need to pay them enough to do it. Like they'll kill, you know, whoever you want them to kill. But it's like, if you want them to kill somebody that they're like, man, that's just wrong, they're going to charge you like an arm and a leg, and you're really going to have to, you know, pony up.
Well, to me, that kind of character isn't morally sound.
Right. No, I mean, they're not. But at the same time, they're not sort of blatantly evil either.
My take on it.
I feel in the context of Hunter x Hunter, we haven't seen them like kill like children or like, I think crimes you consider like irredeemable. I don't think we've seen them do that. Like, we've seen them like do like regular murders, but within the context of the Hunter x Hunter world, I don't find those acts irredeemably, irredeemable. Like, there's been no children killed, there's no raping, or like, there are things
I kind of feel like maybe,
but I don't think I've seen them cross that line within the context of Hunter.
I kind of want to say maybe they did, but then I can't really call it out that they did, but you're probably right. Let's assume they didn't. Let's assume they've only ever like assassinated people that quote unquote could deserved it. Then yeah, that's not too bad. I will say the mom character definitely comes across to me as pretty unfeeling and uncaring regarding her children versus the dad, who seems to have some care. Like, he's very stern, but I think he cares about his kids.
I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah, because the mom who's wearing the Jordy LaForge glasses is just like, I don't know, like, seems like every time she's been on screen, back when they first met her, and you know, and they had the arc with the butlers or whatever, that she just seemed like a real monster to me at the time, just unfeeling. But I don't know. They're really weird. They're very unusual characters. They're hard to classify. And this dad especially, because he just sort of sits there and doesn't really emote. And you don't really know what he's thinking.
Yeah. So, that's Hunter x Hunter. Aluka's freaky.
Oh, Aluka is, like, hella fucking freaky. And, like, she could literally kill, like, half the world by accident.
So, basically, she's Thanos.
I mean... yeah, basically, like, you make the wrong wish and then they'll do what she wants, a crazy amount of people could end up dead. And so, you know, they kind of have to lock her up, but at the same time, locking her up like that is, it's pretty not cool and evil.
So, that'll about do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thanks, Crocodile.
You're very welcome.
C-Kohler, thanks for being here.
No problem.
B-Dubs, thanks for all the stuff. All this swag that I got from you.
Swag?
Didn't get any swag? Physical
items, or are we talking about?
No, nobody got swag.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 146. Good night, everyone. Later.